want to welcome you all to the Lord's house. We thank you for your presence. We're glad to see each one that's gathered with us on this Sabbath morning. The Psalm 55, verse 22 tells us, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So it's a text that's in keeping with our theme today, especially casting our burdens upon the Lord. May he give us grace to do that today and in the days ahead. The hymn number 39 is our opening praise this Sabbath morning. William Cooper's great hymn, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. So hymn 39, please, we'll stand together as we sing. Just bow together before the Lord and seek his face in prayer. Father, we do lift our hearts to thee at the throne of grace. We ask thee at the beginning of the meeting to pour out your Spirit upon us, pour out the Spirit of prayer upon our hearts and upon this gathering, even upon us as a church. I want to pray, Father, that we would know the touch of God upon these meetings today. Come and touch the gathering. Come and touch each one that's present. And we pray, Father, we would know the touch of God especially upon our hearts and upon our lives, upon our walk with God. We want, Father, to have a different walk with thee. We pray that our walk with God will never be the same. Following these services, this time spent around the Word of God, we remember the touch you gave Jacob. Those many years ago, you touched him in the hollow of his thigh, and then he limped for the rest of his days. His walk was never the same. And Father, we would pray, give us even such a touch as we're gathered here in thy house, even this very day. Thank you for the blessing of having the Word of God. It's so easy for us, Father, to say that. We take a moment to think of those who at great sacrifice provided us with the Scriptures, even in our own language. Some that laid down their life that we might have the Word of God plainly to read in the English language. We thank you for their memory, their life. We thank you for their service, the great blessing that their lives have been to so many, to millions, even to our hearts and lives. We pray that we would never come to that place where we take for granted the Book of God that is in our hands. We ask thee, Father, deepen our love for it, deepen our love for the Scriptures even this very day. We want to pray that your word will be sweet to our taste and to our hearts this very day. Remember that the Savior said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And Lord, we would cry, give us such a message. We want, Father, a word from God today. We want a message direct from thyself, a word from the very mouth of the Lord himself. We pray that we'll be conscious in this meeting that you're ministering to us, that the Lord is here, and that the Lord is opening the Scriptures, and he's the one that is speaking in this gathering. We would ask, Father, speak especially to those not right with God, those that are not saved, those that have no hope for eternity, those that are far away from thee, who have backslidden, those that are not in close fellowship with thyself. We ask, Lord, touch their hearts and lives, even draw them again closer to thyself. We rejoice in the assurance of your word that you can heal our backslidings, that you can restore the joy of thy salvation. We do want to, Father, lift up circumstances even in our land and across the earth at this time before thee. We're thankful, Father, we're able to pray about everything. We remember the situation even with regard to the springtime, the work to be done in the farms, the gardens, and the land. And Lord, we ask that you'll be gracious to us. We think of the sin of our nation. We think of that sin increasing week by week, month by month. We remember that in Sodom those many years ago, that the cry of it came up to God, it came up to thee even in heaven. And Lord, we're conscious that the sins of this nation are rising day by day and week by week. So Lord, we ask thee to be gracious to us. We pray for help as thy people, that we will continue in the things of God. Help us, Father, to be faithful in our lives and in our service. Pray that in the darkness that you'll help us to let our light shine before men, that they might see our good works and thereby glorify our Father which is in heaven. We pray, Father, that you'll turn the tide of evil. Your word tells us that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord would raise up a testimony against it. And we pray for that move of God's Spirit again in our land. We pray, Father, turn the tide. We ask thee to remember your people that are in positions of authority in this nation of ours. Lord, we pray that you'll keep them in their lives and in their walk with God. Give them courage and boldness that they might speak for thee and say the things even that ought to be said. We're conscious, Father, the first time that rain ever fell upon this earth, it came as a judgment from thy hand. And we're conscious even that the rain that we're experiencing comes upon us as a judgment that God is speaking to this nation of ours, even at this time. We're saddened, Father, that there's not a thought of God. Still, they have not turned unto thee. We want to pray, Father, that you would speak on, touch hearts. But we ask thee, Father, to remember your promise that while the earth remains, there would be seed time and harvest. There'd be summer and winter. There would be cold and heat. And Lord, we hold on to that promise. We know that your promise is sure, that it will never fail. We pray for patience. Remember that your word says concerning the spiritual harvest that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Save us, Father, from fainting in our hearts and in our minds, even at such a time as this. Give us that faith and patience just to wait upon God. We know that you do all things well. We remember, Father, the wars and rumors of wars that are taking place even across the earth at this time. We remember the nation of Israel, the attacks launched again upon it. We remember, Father, that you've said that he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. We thank you for your keeping hand upon the nation, even through the night. And we remember, Father, what you did in ancient times. Remember that the stars, even in their courses, fought against Sisera. And Lord, we pray for the intervention of heaven, even at this time, as you did in time past. You said to Israel, even at the Red Sea, that the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And we pray, Father, that it will be evident, even to the entire corners of the earth, that God's hand is upon that nation, and that God is working even for their safety and for their good. We're mindful of the situation in Ukraine as well, as that war continues on, Father, and we feel for the people there. We feel for your people, and we think, Father, of the circumstances in which they live, the circumstances under which they seek to labour and maintain the witness of the church. Help us not to be unmindful. We pray for a heart that is concerned and a heart that feels, even for all in great need. We're mindful, Father, of some, even in those communist countries that are severely persecuted. We think of North Korea and China, and the boldness and courage of your people to maintain a witness, even in some of the Muslim nations too, across the earth. Oh God, we pray that you'll build your church. We pray that you'll keep your people. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us to do what we can in the service of the Master in the days in which we're found. Remember all that are gathered here today. We're especially mindful of those that are unwell. Several in our congregation that are missing from our midst today because of illness in the family. Lord, be near to them. You've assured us that you'll never leave us, never forsake us. Pray that these dear ones will be very conscious just of the nearness of the Lord. We prayed a little earlier for the touch of God upon these meetings. We want to pray for the touch of God upon all that are ill at this time. Lord, may it please thee, even by your mighty power, to give to each one a healing touch in these days that might be surprising even to the doctors and to the medical staff. Lord, hear our prayers now. Abide with us. Lead us through the meeting. And we want to ask that you'll give us in both these services today the double portion of your Spirit upon us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The 46th Psalm we're going to sing together. The opening verses of the first version. The first seven verses, God is our refuge and our strength and straits a present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. The 46th Psalm then, the first seven verses of the first version, please. Let's rise to sing.
Lord,
Amen. We're reading together in the scriptures, please, in 1 Peter chapter 5. The first epistle of Peter, about the fifth chapter. We're going to read together from the first verse. And let's hear the Lord's word. First Peter 5, and the first verse. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we're sure the Lord will add today his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. We're glad to see all that have assembled with us for our morning worship. We appreciate your presence. If you've come to visit, we welcome you especially into our midst today. Pray that you'll feel at home with us and know the blessing of God. We're glad to see the children and the young people who are gathered in the meeting as well. We thank you for your presence, both at Sunday school and Bible class, and also here at the morning meeting. And we pray the Lord will bless you from your earliest days. And we welcome all that are watching our service too on the live stream. We're glad that you have been able to join us for the meeting also. Remember the service tonight, please, 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting downstairs in the church hall. The gospel service then at 6:30. Remember, we're thinking of the coverings of the tabernacle. The four coverings were at the third. We're studying them from the inside out. So we come tonight to the ram's skin. The ram's skin's dyed red. And there's three great truths about the cross work of Christ that are set forth in that covering. So we invite you to come, join with us. we have been encouraged by your presence. Even if you're not a regular attender, maybe you've never attended the evening service, we want you to know that we'd be very pleased to have you present with us tonight. Remember, the meetings in the incoming week in the will of the Lord. Tomorrow morning at 10 is the parent and toddler group downstairs in the church hall. So we're thankful for all of the children and their parents and child menders that come. Make that meeting known, and we're thankful to all that help with the parent and toddler group as well. Tomorrow night at 8 is the ladies' fellowship. The speaker is Mrs. June McComb from the Banbridge Church. Member sister has a ministry where she makes greeting cards in many cases to order, and then the funds that are raised go to the support of the Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda. So she's going to tell you a little bit about that, how she got started in that little ministry, and the blessing that it has been to her. And she'll bring a wee word as well, maybe give a brief word of testimony also. She's going to bring some of her cards with her for the ladies to see, and you'll have an opportunity to purchase them, so come prepared for that. And if you have any cards that you would especially like made, speak to her sister about that after the meeting as well. So remember, that'll be the last of the ladies' meetings for this season. So it's a meeting with a difference, a special meeting just to end. So we encourage as many of the ladies as possible to attend, and do bring others with you. Make the meeting known. Wednesday date is the midweek service. Remember, it's going to be a special midweek meeting this Wednesday night. The Reverend Ronnie McCracken will be with us, a former missionary to the Jews, to do the Passover demonstration for us. With all the focus on Israel at present, it's good for us to learn just a little more about Jewish life, and especially as the Passover is so prominent, one of the most prominent of the feasts in Israel that's found and recorded in the Scriptures. So you will find it very helpful. You'll have all the items that are connected, that are used in the Feast of the Passover, and he'll take the time to go through them and explain them, tell you how the Passover is kept by a Jewish family, and then he'll give us the typical significance of them as well. So do plan to be present. We encourage a very good number just to avail of the opportunity of our brother's visit with us. The beginning then of next week, Monday the 22nd, I believe, is the date that commences the Feast of the Jewish Passover for the year of 2024. So it is very relevant and very significant for us. Next Lord's Day, the 21st of April, 10:40 are Sunday School and Bible classes. The service is 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. I hope to be the preacher myself, and we encourage you to come and join us for the seasons of prayer before both meetings. Monday night week, that's Monday the 22nd at 7:30, just to remind the members, is the next meeting of the church committee. That will be downstairs in the church hall. Just to make you aware in advance that two extra nights of prayer have been planned. We generally have additional nights of prayer for the work in general every year, but we're thinking especially of the gospel mission. The session decided to hold them back a little this year to nearer to the time of the gospel mission. So they will be on Monday the 29th and Tuesday the 30th of this month. So that's 2 weeks from tomorrow night and Tuesday night. And then we'll have the regular midweek service on the Wednesday night. So 3 nights of prayer that week, particularly to focus on our prayers for the mission down in Tynan. On Monday and Tuesday night, they'll begin at 8 at the usual time. The meetings will be for an hour, and then the Wednesday night will be the usual time of the midweek service. The missionary offering taken on Wednesday night past for Miss Elizabeth Edwards so far has come to £610. We thank you for your generous giving. Remember, you can still add to the offering if you didn't have opportunity to do that on Wednesday night. The offering is still open, and there's still copies of our sister's prayer card that is available if you didn't receive one. Remember, importance too of the covenant support. Just remind you again of the new book that has been published primarily through the labours of Mr. George McConnell and the Reverend David Linden. The book is entitled These Are the Names. It gives the lives of 25 men and women that were raised up by the Lord and used in the early days of our denomination. So we had a small supply of those. All the copies have gone. They're £7.99 each. There is a list there in the porch. We'd like you to put your name on the list if you didn't get a copy and would like to have one. Do that as soon as possible, just to give us an idea of how many additional copies that we do need to order. Keep in mind those that are travelling for the Lord's work. Just at this time, the Reverend and Mrs. Mercer, they're in Port Lincoln and Lock over this weekend for the services there, and especially the ordination of the two new elders, one for each of those congregations. So they're just about halfway through their visit there. Remember those that have gone to Nepal, Dr. Brown and the Reverend Patterson from our neighbouring church in Market Hill. So they have a fairly busy schedule ahead of them over the next 10 days or so. And then Mr. and Mrs. Hamilton going out to Uganda. Mr. Hamilton to help with some oversight of the building project and some important business there that needs attended to just in the next few days. So please keep them in your prayers as well. Remember those that are not well in our congregation, especially remember Brother David Castles. Edith and David and the family have asked us on their behalf to express their deepest thanks to the congregation for all of your prayers, your cards, all of the text messages that they have received. They want us to assure you that those have all been a great blessing and a great means of strengthening their hands and encouraging them. It has meant so much to them just at this time. Remember Brother Jim Cross. Jim is still in the hospital. He's doing a little better. He is a little stronger. He's been moved on to the rehab ward down in Daisy Hill. So pray the Lord will continue to strengthen Jim, and very soon he will be able to get back home again. Keep in mind Mrs. Crane, the Reverend David Crane's wife, Jennifer. She has been in hospital. She had pneumonia, been treated for that. So remember her sister, that the Lord will strengthen her, raise her up again, be pleased to raise her up again to health and strength. Would ask as well in the wider denomination to remember the Monteith family down in the Oma congregation. Mr. Ernie Monteith passed away early yesterday morning. Ernie was the senior elder there. I believe he was in his 97th year. The Lord had spared him to a good age. He lost his dear wife back in last February. He was a very prominent member of the presbytery for many years. He and Dr. Paisley were close friends. It was really through his influence that Dr. Paisley first went down to Oma to hold the gospel mission that led to the formation of the Free Presbyterian Church in the town. The Reverend Garth Wilson, who is the minister of the church in Sandown, is a grandson of Mr. Monteith's, and Mrs. Beulah Gollaher, the wife of the Reverend Ian Gollaher, is a daughter. So it's quite a large family connection, and we're saddened to learn just of his passing. It's a difficult time, especially for the Reverend Mercer, with him being in Australia at the time of that bereavement in his congregation. So remember the folk there. The funeral is tomorrow afternoon in the Oma congregation. So I think those are all the matters we need to mention to you today. We're going to sing together Scriven's lovely hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So 625 will stand as we sing, please. Amen. Just a wee word of prayer together. Father, we are mindful of those that are ill today, and we thank you for our Savior. The Scriptures tell us that we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We rejoice in one that can identify even with us in our illness and in our weakness. And we ask that each in this church that are unwell will know the nearness of the Lord just at this time. I remember David, grant him grace. Pray you'll sustain him and Edith and the family through these days. And we thank you for answering prayer for Jim. Thank you for the little improvement that he has made. And Lord, we ask it might please thee that that would continue. We're mindful of Mrs. Crane today, be near to her in the hospital bed as well. Remember the Reverend Crane and all the family. We ask thee to uphold them. We pray, Father, for the Monteith family too, the memory of our brother Ernie and his influence and faithfulness in the things of God. And we pray you'll comfort the hearts of your people, comfort the hearts of that family circle. And Lord, as we think of our brother called home, we're mindful of the words of the psalmist, help for the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail from among the children of men. And Lord, we think of our land and those that have been called from our midst. And Lord, we need thee to raise up others. We ask thee to send other faithful servants amongst us, even as we thought last Sabbath of the need, Father, for that generation to arise that knows the Lord. Hear our cries. Abide with us. We ask thee to bless our meditation of your word now. May the touch of God be upon the ministry of the Scriptures in this house this day. And we pray, Father, that your word will be a help and a blessing, a comfort and an encouragement to all that are gathered. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 is our text today. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You'll remember that before Easter, we had been thinking of some of the trials of the Lord's people. We'd dealt with the weakness of the Lord's people. We considered that great text, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. We thought about those who are the brokenhearted. We considered as well those who are discouraged. And we want to think today of those that have the cares of this life weighing down upon their hearts. The theme is coping with the cares of life. This verse that is before us, it speaks of your care. In other words, that is your worries and troubles. The word literally has the idea of anxiety, those whose hearts are filled with anxiety. It's that state of being so anxious that you're being pulled apart, almost being pulled in every direction. And perhaps that's your condition. Circumstances, the events of life are pulling you apart at this time. We sometimes talk about people who are carefree. In other words, people who are free from cares and worries. But the reality, brethren and sisters, is that there are very few people, if any, in this world who don't have some cares and some burdens upon their heart. Most people are troubled about something. Do you remember that Job said that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble? Notice the contrast. Our days are few and our troubles are many. The fewness of our days, but the fullness of our troubles. We are not full of days, but we are full of trouble as we pass through this life. Our lives are packed and overflowing with trouble and with worry. They press in upon us from every side. Life is such that you're just getting over one worry when another appears before you. Another rises on the horizon. So the cares and burdens of life, brethren and sisters. Life is full of cares. And maybe that's how you're feeling today. maybe more than ever you've done in your life before. And the question is, what do you do with those cares? Well, Peter gives us the answer here in our text. Can I point out that Peter was writing to Christians who had plenty of worries and troubles. These believers were experiencing times of tribulation. They were being severely tried. If you look at the first chapter of the epistle, verses 6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So you'll see that he speaks there about the manifold temptations. And remember that the temptations are the trials. And then in the next verse, he speaks about the trials of your faith. And if you look at chapter 4, verse 12 as well, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. So I want to put the verse in the context of the book. He's writing to believers who had worries and concerns and trials. In fact, we could say they had worries and trials and concerns in abundance. But in our text, Peter has a message for these burdened believers. He says to them, in times of great trial and trouble, here is your comfort, here is your encouragement, here is your relief, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So let us look together for a few minutes at this verse and learn from it how to cope with the cares of life. There are some questions, some very relevant questions that this verse answers for us when it comes to the cares of life. First of all, what should you do with your cares? Well, the answer is found in the first part of the text. Casting all your care upon him. That's what to do with your cares. And I want to urge you to do that in the meeting today. That's what I want to urge you to do with all the cares of life. If you're asking, what are you to do with them? The answer is that you need to bring them to the Lord. And I pray that you'll see that, brethren and sisters. You must bring the Lord into the situation. Because the reality is, you cannot cope. None of us can cope without him. Maybe you've brought the situation that you're facing to the family, to the friends, to the professionals. And that's good, and they all have their place. The New Testament says that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we want to encourage that more, to help and support one another. But I emphasize that first and foremost, we need to bring our situation, we need to bring our cares to the Lord. In life in general, if something is too heavy for you to carry, then you give it to someone else. You think of a child trying to carry something that's too heavy. Well, they give it to someone else that can carry it. And that's what the Lord wants you to do with your cares and worries. You need to give them, and you need to bring them to him. So what you need to do today, brethren and sisters, is this. You need to humble yourself, and you need to admit and acknowledge to the Lord, I can't handle this situation. I'm not sufficient for the circumstances. It's too heavy. It's too difficult for me. And you need then to cast the situation, cast your cares upon the Lord. So I want to urge you to do that. And remember that he's the great burden bearer. He pleads with you today and says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I remind you that that's a promise, that is a word for the believer as well as for the sinner. Do you remember in the days of Solomon at the building of the temple? Among the labourers that were involved in that great building project were those who were called the bearers of burden. That was their job. That was their role. They were very strong men, carried all the materials, everything that had to be carried in and out of the building site, the bearers of burdens. And brethren and sisters, The Lord Jesus is our great bearer of burdens. And we can tell you today with confidence, in the words of the hymn writer, there's never a burden that he cannot bear. Just take that in. There's never a burden that he cannot bear. There's never a friend like Jesus. He's the great burden bearer. If you think of it like this, didn't he bear the burden and guilt of your sin at the cross? Of course he did. And I urge you to take encouragement from that, because that was the greatest burden of all. And he's willing today to bear for you the burdens and the cares of life, if you will only bring them to him. So can I ask you, will you do that, even in the meeting? Bring your burdens to him. But you know what most Christians do is they just keep carrying the cares themselves. They think, I'm smart enough, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough to deal with this situation. But the reality is, you can't, and you need to see that. Most Christians just continue to carry the cares until they can't cope anymore, and then they fall down under the weight of them. Remember, that's what happened to Elijah when he was down there under the juniper tree in the southern part of Israel. He wished for himself that he would die. The great man had got to the point where he couldn't cope anymore, couldn't cope any longer with all the strains of life. So, brethren and sisters, I emphasize it, you don't have to carry the burdens. Peter teaches and exhorts, casting all your care upon him. Or in the words of the psalmist that we read at the beginning of the meeting, and it's in all probability those words of Psalm 55, verse 22, that Peter had in mind when he penned this text, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. So that's what you should do with the cares of life, casting all your care upon him. The second question is, how do you cast your cares upon the Lord? And the answer is by prayer. This verse, brethren and sisters, is a call to prayer. It's a call to pray about your cares and about your anxieties. The hymn says, all your anxieties, all your cares, bring to the mercy seat and leave it there. And that sums it up well for us. That's what the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to pray about your troubles, and he wants you to pray about all the cares that are upon your heart. The Lord wants you to talk to him about those things. That's the reason why your quiet time every day, that's the reason why the prayer meeting is so important. It gives you time to talk to the Lord about everything and to cast your cares upon him. We sang those words of Scriven's, are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I want to point you, brethren and sisters, to the throne of grace today. I want to encourage you to get to the throne of grace and talk to the Lord about your situation. Do you remember our motto text for last year? Philippians 4, verse 6. When you're in a fix, remember Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So what is the lesson? You're not to worry about your cares. You're to pray about them. You're to tell the Lord all about them. If you think of the Apostle Paul, Paul had a burden. He had a care that weighed upon his heart. It was a health issue. It was the thorn in his flesh. And what did he do about it? Well, the Bible says he prayed. And he prayed persistently. We're told that he prayed 3 times. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he would take it away. But what was the Lord's answer? What was the Lord's response to the apostle at that time? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Remember, the Lord gave the help that was needed, and he'll do the same for you. There's grace to save. I wonder if you experienced that, God's saving grace. If you haven't, we plead with you to come to Christ today. But as well as grace to save, there's grace to sustain. grace to help in time of need. What a provision the Lord has made for us. So I want to exhort you today to pray about everything in life. I want to encourage you to pray about all your cares and your concerns. And there are four things especially the Lord will do with regard to your cares as you seek Him in prayer for them. For one thing, He'll give you the courage to face them, to face the situation. Isaiah said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." So He can take away the fear, give you peace, give you the courage to face the situation. He can also give the wisdom to understand and deal with the situation. James said, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." There are situations we really don't know the answer. We really don't understand. We do lack wisdom. We need to admit that. And if we lack wisdom, He says, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He'll give the wisdom to understand and to deal with the situation. He'll also give the strength to do whatever you have to do, whatever you have to pass through. Paul said to the Philippians, "I can do all things." It's not a tremendous statement, not some things. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And as well as that, the final thing is He'll give you the faith to trust Him in the circumstances. The disciples prayed, "Increase our faith." And we need to ask the Lord to do that as well, over grace to trust Him more. So here are four great encouragements to pray as you face the trials and the cares of life. Here's the help the Lord will give to you. Here is the cure for our cares, brethren and sisters. I urge you to bring them to the Lord. I urge you today to pray about those cares. Then the third question, which cares should you cast upon the Lord? The text says, all your care. Casting all your care. Not some, not most. Not the small ones, the easy ones. He says, casting all your care upon Him. I emphasize that Christians have all sorts of cares. You have cares today about your home, your family, your children, your income, your employment, your business. You have cares today about your health or the health of a family member. You have some concerns and anxieties as you look out upon the week and look out upon the future. And we have concerns as we look out upon our nation, look out even upon international events. So we've all cares, brethren and sisters, all sorts of cares. And we've also cares about the work of God. Can I stress to you that that is the context of the verse? If you look at verse 1 of the chapter, Peter says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." Remember, as well as being an apostle, that Peter held the office of an elder in the church. He sat on the Kirk session. He sat on the presbytery of the early church. So I want you to see, brethren and sisters, always remember the text especially refers to the Lord's work, to the care of the church. It refers to those that lead the church of Jesus Christ. It's especially an encouragement for them, what Paul called when he was writing to the Corinthians, the care of all the churches. So we have all sorts of cares. And we have also all sizes of cares. Some are big, some are small, some are in between. Some situations cause us a lot more stress and worry and anxiety than others. So there's all sorts and all sizes of cares. And the question is, which should you pray about? Which should you cast upon the Lord? And the answer of the Word of God is all of them, every one of them without exception. The reality is the Lord is interested in every detail of your life. It's not a staggering thing. He is interested in all your cares, all your anxieties. Peter is teaching that the Lord wants you to bring every care of life to Him. That's a hard lesson to learn. The fact is, He will never be too busy to listen. We've all had that experience. We went to somebody to talk to them, to seek for their help, and they were too busy to listen to us, hadn't time. They were busy doing something else, and at very best they carried on with what they were doing while you were trying to talk to them. But the Lord's not like that. He's never too busy to listen. And he will never turn you away. He'll never refuse you, never send you home again without giving you his help. And he will never say to you, don't bother me with that very trivial matter. So the message is clear, brethren and sisters. Whatever the care, tell the Lord about it. If you're worried about the state of the nation, if you're concerned today about the future of the work of God, if you're anxious about a member of your family or maybe a close friend, if you're concerned about what the future will hold, if you're concerned about your age and your health and your strength, well then tell the Lord. Tell the Lord all about it. We learn here, brethren and sisters, the Lord re-emphasizes a lesson that's taught right throughout the Bible. We need to pray about everything in life. As Scriven said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So tell the Lord about all your cares today. The final thing, the final question is, why should you cast your cares upon the Lord? Well, look at the second part of the verse. He careth for you. What a blessed truth. I encourage you to just stop for a moment and take it in. Often whenever there's trouble, we think that nobody cares. And sometimes that's true. No human being cares. What a challenge that is for us as Christians. May the Lord give us caring hearts. Remember Nehemiah cared about the situation, the state of Jerusalem. He cared about God's people there, a caring Christian. Brethren and sisters, I want you to always remember today that there is one who cares for you, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I urge you in the meeting this morning, get your eyes on him. Be encouraged today to know he cares. He cares for you. I encourage you to ponder carefully the words that are before us in this verse of Scripture. Do you remember when the Savior was crossing the Sea of Galilee with his disciples? We're told that there was a great storm that arose. That incident is a picture for us of the storms of life that all of us have to pass through. But whenever the storm arose, the Savior himself was asleep. Remember, he had a pillow in the hinder part of the ship. That shows to us his real humanity. And as the Savior slept, the storm got worse. And the result was that the disciples were frightened. Remember that they were hardened fishermen. They were men of the sea. So it was quite a storm if those disciples were frightened. And they thought the ship would sink. They were contemplating the prospect that they were going to die. So frantically they woke the Savior and they asked him this very foolish question. Carest thou not that we perish? Think of the word care. Carest thou not that we perish? You think of that. They asked the Lord Jesus, do you not care for us? In other words, they were saying you're lying sleeping and you're not worried there about our safety. And yet how wrong they were. Remember, with Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. There wasn't a chance of the boat sinking that day with the Savior on board. So how wrong they were. Of course he cared. Remember that Peter personally had experienced the Lord's care. The Lord helped him to walk on the water. The Lord had prayed for him at that time when Satan was seeking to sift him as wheat. I have prayed for thee. Remember that today, dear brother and sister. The Lord's praying for us in the glory as well. Remember, the Lord helped Peter to pay the temple tax in a miraculous manner. Went down to the shore and caught the fish and the coin in its mouth. Provided for him in a miraculous way. Remember the great catch of fish when Peter had gone back to the fishing. I go a-fishing. Do you remember that the Lord repaired the damage that Peter did to Malchus's ear? So in many times through those years that Peter was with the Savior in his earthly ministry, He experienced the Lord's care personally for him. Remember that he had witnessed the Lord's care for others. He had seen the Savior heal his mother-in-law. Peter's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. He had been there and saw the miracles. Remember the wine, the water into wine, the wedding in Cana, the feeding of the multitudes, the 4,000 and the 5,000. Peter had witnessed the Lord's care so many times. But the greatest example of all was that Peter had witnessed that the Lord cared for our souls, because he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Notice again that first verse, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." That's a reference to the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord's glory shone forth, but especially in the middle of the verse, "a witness of the sufferings of Christ." Peter was there at the cross. He had stood at the cross and saw the Savior's great sacrifice for our sins. So, brethren and sisters, meditate upon that truth today, whatever your problem might be. And remember, he left heaven. He became man. He went to the cross. He died in your place. For what reason? Because he cared for you. He loved you. He cared for your soul. And may that knowledge bless and encourage and comfort and strengthen your heart today. Whatever may be causing you anxiety, and however great that anxiety might be, that worry, because of the cares of life, as you think of Christ and his love, how he cared for you, may that bless and encourage and comfort and strengthen your heart. So here, brethren and sisters, is how to cope with the cares of life. Here is the cure for life's cares and anxieties: casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. May the Lord make his word a blessing and a comfort to every heart today. Two verses only of 426. "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress, and the days grow weary and long?" We're going to stand to sing just the first two verses of the hymn, 426. We'll rise as we sing and remain standing then for the benediction. want to bow together in prayer. I'll not go down to the door this morning. We'll just seek the Lord in prayer and close the meeting. But do keep the service tonight in mind, and we encourage you all to come again tonight for the preaching of the gospel. Father, we thank you for help given in the meeting this morning. We've known the Lord to be with us. We've been conscious of your hand and your blessing upon the meeting. Thank you especially for your speaking voice, for speaking to us in all our needs. We thank you, Father, for a word from God to encourage our hearts. We think of so many, Father, with burdens and cares in the congregation today. And even now, Father, just as we're bowed before thee, give us grace to obey this exhortation of your word and to cast every care, to cast every burden upon thyself. We rejoice that you are the great burden bearer. You've exhorted us to bring all of those burdens to thee and to leave them with thee. We confess at times, we bring them in prayer, and then we pick them up and take them away again. But Father, help us even this day just to leave our burdens and our circumstances with thyself. Remember those that are still carrying the burden of sin. We pray that they'll get to the cross today by faith and cast the burden of their sin upon the Lord and be saved. Lord, hear our cries. We commit ourselves just into your keeping, into the hands of our God, praying that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, will be our abiding experience. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.